has taken some time to pray and to consider the message he would bring for us today, and I ask that we each as well might take the time to offer a little silent prayer for him and his behalf, and for us as well, that we might be able to gain a greater understanding or knowledge. And I ask that you would give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Glenn Orsted.
Thank you, Bob. And good morning, everyone. Hope this day finds you well. I'm glad to see everyone who's made the effort to come this day to worship the Lord. You can start turning over to, those of you who desire to like to follow along, you can start turning over to the 21st chapter of John, where I'm going to start this morning. Forewarning you, if you look up here and you see this cup up here, if you're curious that it might be a prop, it's not. It's just a cup of water. And if you're fearful, that means I'm going to go a long time. I don't intend to, but I have a kind of a scratchy throat and a bit of a cough. So that's just for me to get a drink if I need to. But this morning, I would like to start in the 21st chapter of John. I'm going to start with the 15th verse. Excuse me. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Sometimes I see if we just on the surface, it's the real meaning that's there kind of gets lost. It's been mentioned several times, and I'm not going to That's not going to be the focus this morning, but to understand a little bit this, what's happening here is this word. Sometimes when we translate from one language to another, there just aren't any really words that correspond. And sometimes other languages, they have more specific things or degrees, if you will. And that's the case here. That in the original text, the word that gets translated as love from our Lord is different than the word that Peter's responding with. When the Lord was asking him, Do you love me? It was this really deep, very close, intimate, deep type of relationship. And what Peter's answering with is more of a kind of a respect, admiring, important type thing. And so when it seems kind of, you know, the Lord keeps asking Peter and Peter keeps responding, they're going back and forth, but Peter's not responding with the same degree with which the Lord's asking him until the third time. And the Lord asks, and the word in the original text that he asks, his love is the same thing that Peter's been responding with, and Peter responds back. And so it doesn't carry quite the full intent of this discussion in our English translation here. And it's always been kind of my opinion, and that's all, is that Peter probably was reluctant to respond to the degree of the emotion and the love with which the Lord was asking him of him, because by this point I think he's probably realized a lot of his weaknesses. He's been the bold one and falling flat on his face. He was the one bold enough to step out of the boat and only to find himself out there flailing around for help. He was the one who drew his sword to defend the Lord, only to be told to put it away. And he was the one that said that he would never deny his Lord and then did three times. And so it's been kind of my thought that now he's kind of realizing that, you know, he needs to be a little more careful about how much he puts himself out there, you know. That may not be the reason, but I imagine by this point, you know, he's starting to realize that he's not quite as strong as he thinks that he is. But for whatever the reason, I'd like to look at a little bit different aspect this morning. Here back to that 15th verse. It says, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Excuse me. And so I'd like to start this morning by posing a question before you. If Jesus was all you had, would Jesus be enough for you? And so I've entitled my sermon this morning, Is Jesus Enough? And that's that question I'd like you to start this morning. I'd like you to start thinking about it as we go through this day. If in everything you had, Jesus was all that you possessed, would Jesus be enough? There are many devout believers in the world who profess Christianity. But I frequently find many times they are really in love with the things of the Lord, but they're not really in love with the Lord Himself. There are many Christian workers and ministers of different denominations who are in love with the Lord's work. And almost without realizing it, the work of the Lord becomes more important than the Lord of the work. I'm going to repeat that. I want you to think about that a little bit, that the work of the Lord becomes more important than the Lord of the work. There are scholars and there are teachers out there who hold the words from God in higher esteem than the God who speaks the words that they attribute to being from Him. They like the things of Christianity. They like the items. There's people who seek these words, the teachings, and the more they receive, you know, the more they want. Before even one word is digested, you know, they're craving another. They're seeking the things of Christianity. The words, the prophecies, the teachings, the visions, the dreams. But not really seeking the Lord Himself. In 2 Timothy 4:3, a familiar verse. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 3rd verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. A time where looking for it's more important, you know, just to be receiving something. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. But this concept that's needing something to constantly to stimulate, something new, something always coming in, whether it's right or not isn't of importance as long as there's something coming in, something that's new. So have itching ears, want to hear something. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus enough? When we gather together, whether it's for a service such as this, a potluck meal as we'll have after this service or at other times we have, reunion, or any time we gather together, you know, a lot of times most of the activity is really focused on one another. And that's important. I mean, I do not in any way want to discount the importance of fellowship and the one another's needs. But it's not the most important thing. You know, fellowship is good. But is Jesus enough? Gatherings are good, but is Jesus enough? Meetings are good, but is Jesus enough? We have special speakers or special music programs or any number of things, but as important as they are, if we didn't have those, would Jesus still be enough in your life? You know, even with praise and worship, you know, it's possible to sing about Jesus and not truly worship Him. With preaching and teaching, it's possible to talk about Jesus and not really meet Jesus in what is being shared. Even in prayer, it's possible to talk about our needs, others' needs, concerns, and never really commune with our Lord and Savior. Because I'd like to put before you this morning, there is Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our Messiah. And then there are a multitude of things that are about Jesus, but they are not Jesus. The reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, our Lord really occupies only a small portion of what is said and done in many of our activities. Most of what is said and done is really about Jesus. But it's not really our Lord, and it doesn't really involve him. But there are things that are about him. I don't claim to have a wealth of knowledge or information, but as I get more and more years under my belt and I experience more and more things, I gain a little bit to the understanding that a walk in life comes with. And I have frequently found and I've learned that oftentimes, you know, stress and strife, disillusionment, dissatisfaction, bitterness, anger, hurt, misunderstandings, and confusions oftentimes are done by people, and they result from trying to do things that are about the Lord or in the name of the Lord, because they're trying to struggle with things that are about Jesus. And he's not really in their heart. He isn't who they sought out in the first. So I'd ask you this morning, how much of your focus is directed to things of God or about God and not about God himself? How much of your discussion centers on things about Jesus and not our Lord himself? Consider, if you will, how much time do we devote to understanding? And I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm trying to make the comparison of our priorities. So don't for a moment think I'm saying these things are wrong. But how have we prioritized them? How much time do we devote to trying to understand prophecy and end time events in comparison to knowing their author? Does a song or a program take more priority than the subject? Is doctrine and theology more consuming than the judge and king? Because I don't want you to get me wrong. You know, all those things are important. But rather, I want to caution us this morning for our potential. For the potential for the work of the Lord to become more important than the Lord of the work. You know, there are literally thousands of denominations in Christianity. And most have come into being because some individual or some group have selected a concern or a doctrine, whether it's correct or not, and made that their focus, their work, their passion, the thing that motivates them in all they do. And in so doing, they miss the messenger. And we have to be careful because we can fall in that same problem where the things we're doing become more important than the person that we're supposed to be doing them for. There may be diversities of gifts and callings. There may be various and sundry things that we can be involved with. There are many topics to study and to discuss. There are many things that compete for our time, our attention, our affections, our energy, our money, our resources. But there is only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes with this multitude, and I'm speaking now outside of this gathering here, you know, someone from the world looking at Christianity and all its denominations, you know, there's a saying, you know, that you can't see the forest for the trees. And I believe someone outside of the true gospel, you know, they fall in that same thing. There are sinners that can't see Jesus for all the Christians. And if we're not careful, we get a situation where as Christians, we can't see Jesus because of the church. By that I mean, you know, we can get so involved in the work and the services, the responsibilities and the things that we need to be doing and things that require things to be done in the time, and that our Lord gets pushed to the side. And so I'd ask again, in your life, is Jesus enough? Have you ever considered all the great things that those original followers of Christ were able to accomplish? When we read in the New Testament there, you know, how are they able to do those things? I think perhaps we can find part of the answer in Mark. Those that desire to follow along, go to Mark, the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." I want you to look at that for a moment. And particularly, I want you to look at the sequence, the chronology. It says, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." Notice, if you will, our Lord ordained them to be with him. He ordained them to be with him in his presence before he sent them out to preach. Back in our opening verse there in the 21st chapter of John, where I talked about, you know, when Jesus was asking Simon Peter, says, "Lovest thou more than these?" You know, he said that. He made that inquiry. Do you have that relationship with me? Before he ever instructed Peter, "Feed my lambs," or in the later verse, "my sheep." You know, our Lord spent 3.5 years with his disciples, you know, living with them, talking with them, eating, traveling, teaching with them. He spent time with them, and they spent time with him before he ever sent them out. They first had to know the Lord. Before they went out and did great miracles, before they went out preaching, before any of these things, they spent time with him. They knew who Jesus was. They knew his thoughts. They knew his priorities, his dreams, his visions. They saw what he could do. All those things before they took their responsibilities. Each of you are called to be with Jesus. That is your calling. And that is the primary thing. Whatever follows, whatever responsibility or gift or ability you have, whether it's going out to teach, to preach, to sing, or to do anything else, may be important. But it has to be of secondary importance. We must first be with Jesus. We must first have a relationship with our Lord. We must first know who he is. And then we don't need to know what to do because he will send us forth. When you know the Lord, he will tell you. He will inspire you. He will develop gifts and abilities within you. We must first be with our Lord before we even attempt to begin the work. Before Jesus said, "Go into all the world," he said, "Be with me." In 3 Nephi, you can find this on page 632. 3 Nephi, in the 5th chapter. Page 632, 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start with the 14th verse. This is where the Lord, our Lord has appeared on this land. It says, "And it came to pass, the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands into my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world." And it came to pass that the multitude went forth and thrust their hands into his side and did feel the prints of the nails in his hands and his feet. And as they did, going forth one by one, and this they did do, going forth one by one until they had all gone forth and did see with their eyes and did feel with their hands and did know of a surety and did bear record that it was he of whom it had been written by the prophets should come. You read there, before our Lord ever started giving instructions, he called them to him. He said, "Come unto me." And it says, until they had all gone forth. I don't know how many are there. It's described, or it says, a multitude. More than a few. How many is a multitude? I don't know. But it sounds to me like a pretty sizable group. I normally wouldn't say a multitude is just a few or 10 or 20. I'm picturing a pretty large group. So I don't know how many were there, and I don't know how long it took, but imagine a multitude. It took a little bit of time, but our Lord found time for every single one. He said, "Come to me, know me, touch me, feel me." Before he ever started giving instructions, after that he goes into the Sermon on the Mount, he starts all the different things. But before that, he said, come to me. Know who I am. Know that I am the one that you've heard the prophecies about. Don't stand away. Come unto me. And he made sure that he had the time for everyone there. It said, until they had all gone forth and did see with their eyes and did feel with their hands, did know of a surety. And it's so sure it said that they did bear record that it was he. The call of the Lord is not more important than the Lord of the call. The work of the Lord must not replace the Lord of the work. Knowing the Word of God does not necessarily mean that we know the God of the Word. Everyone wants to go and do something for God, but there are very few people willing to stay and do nothing for him. Jesus asked Peter, am I enough for you? Do you love me more than all these other things? Do you love me more than everything else? Do you love me more than you love the things about me? That word, the original word that he's talking about, was that it? The thing, the most important, endearing, in-depth relationship that the Hebrew language had to be able to express. The Greek in that case is the New Testament. Well, it was a few weeks later when Peter stood with John before the religious rulers to explain the healing of a man who had never walked. We find this in the 4th chapter of Acts. Our Lord had asked Peter that. And now our Lord has been sacrificed and resurrected. And Peter and John and the others have accepted that commission to go out and feed his sheep. And now they have to stand before the accusations for what has happened. And we find here Acts 4. Verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They were distinguished by the fact they were known as people that were with Jesus. That they were associated with him. That they were seen in his presence. They were recognized by their association. If we will be with Jesus, He will also be with us. The reason the New Testament church had power was not because they spoke in tongues or held meetings in their living rooms or had a certain system for planning churches. The secret was that they had been with Jesus. They knew Him. In the 13th chapter of Acts, you can start turning over there, we find a meeting at Antioch. There we find here in the 13th chapter, the prophets, the teachers of the church are at Antioch where they're gathered together. And they're there, and their purpose is not to have a house church conference, not to begin a new ministry, not to discuss the latest prophetic word or the newest teaching, not to exchange on ideas how to grow the church, not to fellowship, not to share a meal, not to minister with one another. But as it reads there at the beginning of the second verse in Acts 13, verse 2, it says, but as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, they had gathered to minister to the Lord. You know, Paul and his fellow workers had many souls to save, many disciples to make, many churches to plant, many places to visit, many messages to deliver, many letters to write. There were many needs to be met. Many doors of opportunity were laying there before them. But the work was suspended. Activity ceased. The ministry came to a standstill. Fellowship and food were forgotten. The prophets were there, but the prophets did not prophesy. The teachers were there, but the teachers did not teach. Instead, it says they ministered to the Lord. Their focus went from horizontal, across the side to side, from man to man, to vertical, up and down, from man to God. And so when the Holy Ghost finally spoke, they were ready to go forth. But while they're there, the emphasis was directed away from man's, from man and man's needs, and unto the Lord and His need. They were busy being with Jesus. They were at His feet. If you remember there, I'm not going to turn to it, but you know, in the 12th chapter of John, you might remember the story of Mary and Martha. Mary was there, and she wanted to stay with the Lord and anoint His feet, while Martha was busy taking care of the work, the things that need to be done, preparing the meals and doing all the things that needed to be done. Actually, let's turn to it. I wasn't going to, but let's. Before I paraphrase it, I'm just going to read it the way of John, the 12th chapter. John chapter 12, we'll start with the first verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of My burying has she kept this. And the poor always you shall have with you, but Me ye have not always. This may not be there. There's another one in one of the other Gospels where it talks about, you know, Martha's busy doing these things and is concerned about that. But Mary wanted to be with the Lord. She wanted to anoint Him. She wanted to give Him the very best that she had. The other things, you know, the meal and stuff, you know, that wasn't of a great importance. She wanted to be with the Lord. He was there. This was her opportunity to be there and to be at His feet. back there in Acts, you know, after that, when finally the Holy Ghost finally spoke, you know, they were ready to go forth. And that was starting off the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. You'll find that right afterwards. And so what I'm about to say, I'm not going to say because they're happening. I'm not making any accusation, but these are cautions for us. Things we need to be mindful of. When apostles love church planting and mission work more than Jesus, and they're saying that Jesus is not enough. When prophets love their prophecies, dreams, and visions more than they love Jesus, they're saying that Jesus is not enough. When evangelists love traveling, preaching, and holding meetings more than they love Jesus, and they're saying that Jesus is not enough. When pastors love church services and programs more than they love our Lord, they're saying that, you know, He is not enough. And when the simplest of disciples grow tired of just being with our Lord and begin to long for something bigger, something better, something greater, something newer, something more powerful, something other than what they already have in our Lord, they're saying that, you know, Jesus isn't enough. And so I've asked this morning, if Jesus was all you had, would He be enough? Or do you find that you need all the trappings of Christianity, all the bells and the whistles and the toys and trinkets that come with it? And if I can speak candidly this morning, if you're in a situation where you find yourself dissatisfied and disappointed with your Christian walk, it's only for one reason. Because Jesus is not enough for you. Somewhere along the line, something else became more important. Something has become more important than Jesus. Maybe you've become focused on the things about our Lord and not so much about Him, or not about Him. And there is only one solution. You do not need more of the Lord. He has already given Himself completely to you already. You need less of everything else. You need to remember. Remember what it's like to hear His voice. Remember what it's like to be filled with that passion, that love for Him. That time where you wanted nothing more than to be at His feet and to hear His word. Remember a time when you were so infatuated with Him that you didn't want anything else. Remember a time in your life where what it's like to just be with our Lord and Savior. Remember a time where He first called out to you. Go back to a time when it was all He had. It was all that you had. Back to a time before you were grown up and adult and mature in your Christian walk, but when you're but young. Before you really had a great understanding of prophetic words or miracles or healings. Before you're involved in all the different works and the responsibilities or doing the other things that are required in our church. Go back to a time when there wasn't any work or ministry, no great vision, no special calling. Except the Lord was reaching out and touching your heart. And calling you unto Him. Saying, come unto Me. Touch me, feel me, know that I'm real. Remember that time where that was the excitement, that was all you needed to know that you had a Lord and Savior. Someone to whom which you were so important, He gave everything to His life and death on the cross for you. And so what happened? Other things, responsibilities came upon us. And if we're not careful, those things can take the place and can cloud what our first priority really should be. Is that if we had nothing else, if we didn't have this building, we didn't have nice seats to sit in, we didn't have air conditioning, all we had is all you had was yourself in the middle of nowhere, as long as you had the Lord, you'd know that would be enough. Because at first, we must be able to answer as Peter was asked, you know, as our Lord asked, you know, do you love me? How can you answer that? Can you answer any different than Peter? Can you answer with that same intensity that the Lord asked of Peter? Can you truly answer and say, yes. Yes, Lord, I love you more than anything else in the world. I'd rather be with you than anyone else. I'd rather be at your feet than doing anything else. It's my prayer that the Lord will draw us after him and make us thoroughly sick and tired of the things of life that so easily clutter our life. Because sometimes it's easy to see, you know, not easy to get rid of, but there's things of the world, our workplace and our responsibilities in the home that take our time, and we can see that draws us away from the Lord. And we can struggle, every bit as much of a struggle, but sometimes it's not as easy to see. Sometimes we can get so tied up in our responsibilities and our needs, what we consider our Christian service, that we forget who our first love is and where it all starts. Because pretty soon, once the responsibility becomes greater than the Lord or the work, you start taking it upon yourself to accomplish it the way you think it needs to be done, and the time frame that you think it needs to be done, and the manner and the way that you think it needs to be done. And pretty soon you're sitting there discouraged and frustrated and wondering, how did I get here? Why am I feeling this way? And so I pray the Lord will draw us closer to himself, and make us sick of the things of the world, especially the things that we perceive that are about him and not really him. And remember that scripture that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so I'd again ask you to reflect in your life and ask this question: is Jesus enough? Thank you.